Hello, and welcome to Open Source Sex. I'm Violet Blue, and if you want to find out more about me and all the different things that I do, from video blogging to podcasting to writing things like books and lecturing at UCs and writing my sex column for the San Francisco Chronicle, you can go to my website, which is tinynibbles.com. Tonight, I want to read you a story from a brand new book of mine that just came out called Best of Women's Erotica 2008. And I am extremely excited about this book. It is full of incredibly talented authors, half of which are not from this country, which I find very interesting, but it's a book that I'm extremely proud of, let me put it that way. So, the piece that I want to read to you tonight is a perfect example of what you'll find in the book. And it's called Rear Window by Scarlett French. Maria paid the guy and shut the door to her new apartment with a sigh of exhaustion. Leaning against a pile of boxes, she cast her eyes over the small flat and considered the unpacking ahead of her. She threw open the huge sash window and put her head out to feel the breeze on her face. The air was warm and let up very faint smells of salt beef and garlic. The sound of cars and horns below, and the wafts of the delicatessen, somehow made her feel that the city was welcoming her. Maria found excitement rising in her belly at the thought of this new beginning. She turned to face the unboxing of her life. After a couple of hours of emptying boxes in no particular order, newspaper and bubble wrap flying, she realized it was growing dark. Deciding it was time to call it a night, she grabbed one of the glasses she'd unwrapped, rinsed off the smudges of newsprint, and loped through to the living room. She found the bottle of wine she'd bought to celebrate her first night in the new place, and flopped down in her huge, overstuffed swivel chair, right by the floor-length window. The Merlot was full-bodied and rich, and she took long sips, letting it hit her taste buds before swallowing slowly. Finally relaxing, she leaned back into the chair and put her feet up on the windowsill. The cooler night air flowed in, replacing the balmy stuffiness of the day. The sun had gone down now, but she made no move to get up and switch on a lamp. With the lights out, she could keep her curtains open and still have privacy. It was a perfect way to explore her new view. She lit a cigarette and inhaled deeply. The smoke whipped out the window and curled off into the night. Hers was a typical high-rise view, an equally tall block opposite, lights from windows dotting the monolith in an irregular checkerboard pattern. As usual, there were the curtained windows, the muted squares on the board, and the brightly lit open windows of the people who didn't seem to mind that their lives were on display to at least 10 flats in the building opposite. The view from their building would be a similar configuration. Maria sat cloaked in her big comfy chair, one of the black squares. She took a sip of the velvety Merlot and dragged on her cigarette. There was something daring about watching other people's windows. Directly opposite was a very white bedroom with its curtains wide open. It had the look of a showroom bedroom in an interior store, white walls, white furniture, puffy white duvet and pillows. As she scanned the other windows, Maria suddenly caught movement out of the corner of her eye. She followed it back to the white room to find two men kissing in the doorway. Either they didn't realize that the curtains were open, or they didn't care, because they made no move to draw them. Her first response was to look away from this private scene, but she found herself drawn in. Maybe just for a moment, she thought. They were maybe in their mid-30s. One of the men was very toned and had dark hair. He wore tight jeans and a black top, and was rather perfect in his appearance, like a Calvin Klein model. The other was much less preened, in faded jeans and a plaid shirt. It was obvious to Maria that it was the Calvin guy's flat. Maybe Calvin liked a bit of cowboy rough? Calvin peeled his t-shirt off like a second skin while the cowboy wrenched open the snaps of his western shirt, letting it fall to the floor. Maria could see what the deal was here. These two men probably didn't know each other very well, and they wanted it. Bad. With both their shirts off now, they immediately grabbed one another, their kisses forceful, their tongues sparring. The cowboy clutched Calvin's ass cheeks with both hands and pulled him in tight, pelvis to pelvis. Calvin began to kiss the cowboy's face and neck, working his way down to his nipples where he settled for a while. Maria saw the cowboy throw his head back in response to the teasing of Calvin's tongue. She also saw now the hard bulges in both of their jeans, and silently urged the two men to release them. Calvin continued his way down the cowboy's body until he reached the waistband. He licked his way along the cowboy's stomach, just above the belt, as he rubbed at the bulge in his own jeans. Maria heard an exhalation of breath and realized it was her own. Her cigarette had burned down to the butt, and the ash was sagging, about to fall away. Her glass was tilted, moments from spilling. She also realized she was getting wet. Collecting herself, she stubbed at her cigarette, then drained her glass and put it on the floor. When she looked up again, she found Calvin tugging the cowboy's crotch through the denim and attempting to unbuckle his worn leather belt. Words were exchanged, and Calvin got up and pulled down his jeans and underwear in one quick movement. His stiff cock sprang out as he pulled them down past his thighs. Rhea was suddenly self-conscious. What if they saw her? She slumped down a little in the chair and scooted it back into the shadows, just beyond the light of the street lamps. Calvin stepped out of his trousers and underwear and kicked them aside, then stood before the cowboy waiting. The cowboy curled his fingers around his belt buckle and pulled hard. The belt flew through the loops and leapt into the air. Rhea felt her clit twitch. She knew the sound the belt would have made, cracking the air. She wanted to touch herself, but held off in favor of keeping her full attention on the two men. Her pussy throbbed as the thrashing began. Supporting himself on a set of drawers, Calvin was bent over, proffering his ass to the cowboy. The folded belt came down hard on Calvin's bare skin, and he jolted as the leather bit his flesh. His hard cock extended away from his body, twitching in expectation between blows. Even from a distance, Maria could see that Calvin's ass cheeks were reddening with each strike, showing welts of pleasure. There was something about the way the cowboy stood, legs firmly planted on the ground as he administered the belt, that triggered memories of some of the more butch lovers she'd had. Her cunt twitched and flexed, demanding attention. When the cowboy decided that Calvin had been strapped enough, he flung the belt aside and pulled Calvin's striped ass toward his still-bedenimed crotch, where he held him in place with muscled arms, thrusting and rubbing in Calvin's crack. Maria was sure she could see the pre-cum shining on the end of Calvin's cock. The cowboy dropped to his knees and began to lick Calvin's cheeks and inner thighs. Calvin spread his legs further, bending right over and raising his ass up. Maria could see his balls from behind, something the cowboy hadn't missed either, and watched as he took them in his mouth. Calvin's face fell into a gasp, and his body writhed. Maria wished that she could hear the cries of pleasure, but settled instead on the sound of her own breathing, which grew heavier still. Calvin turned and faced the cowboy, who devoured his throbbing cock immediately. Maria watched as the cowboy took it all in, all the way down to the base and back up again, leaving the shaft glistening with saliva. His head bobbed back and forth as he knelt, working Calvin's dick with fast, sure strokes. Calvin began to thrust back, fucking the cowboy's mouth. Maria was mesmerized, watching the cowboy, who clearly couldn't get enough meat, made her mouth water. The sheer desire between them was electric, and Maria felt herself drawn in, willing Calvin to come. The cowboy grasped Calvin's ass, pulling him forcefully into his mouth, his lips sealed around his target. Calvin was panting and crying out something when he suddenly threw his head back and closed his eyes as his pelvis began to spasm on the cowboy's mouth. The cowboy gulped and swallowed, his Adam's apple moving in time with the spurts of Calvin's cum. Maria's cunt clenched and throbbed, so she shut her legs for a moment to calm herself. "Watching is one thing," she thought. As Calvin's orgasm began to slow, the cowboy pulled his face away and Maria saw a droplet of cum shining in the corner of his mouth. He made sure Calvin was watching as he licked his lips greedily and smiled. In the apartment above, an old woman stood at her kitchen sink, moving her arms to place sudsy patterned china onto a dish drainer. The cowboy rose to his feet, and they began to kiss and shuffle backward toward the bed. Calvin finally pushed the cowboy, who fell back onto the bed, then looked up at Calvin, smirking. Calvin leapt on him and pulled roughly at his jeans, finally wrenching them off. To Calvin's obvious delight, the cowboy wore no underwear. His cock stood up proudly, uncut, and Calvin took it firmly in his hand and stroked it admiringly before straddling the cowboy. They kissed and clawed at each other as Calvin's cock, stiff again, banged against the cowboy's. Calvin licked the cowboy's whole body, progressively giving him a tongue bath. When he reached the cowboy's cock, he hesitated. It seemed that he had a tease planned, but he couldn't help himself. He gulped the cowboy's rod and gave it several luxurious mouth strokes that sent the cowboy arching backward. Despite herself, Maria found her hand had slipped into her underwear and was stroking away at her now rock-hard and very slippery clit. She didn't care anymore. Her pussy was engorged, and every finger slide through and up to her clit sent shivers coursing through her whole body. She paced herself. She wanted to come with the cowboy. Still on the bed, Calvin directed the cowboy to get on his hands and knees and then got behind him. Leaning into him, he reached around for a while, sliding his hand up and down the stiff shaft, his own cock pressed hard between the cowboy's cheeks. He dropped back finally and pushed the cowboy's legs further apart. The cowboy's ass was slightly hairy, and Calvin smoothed the hair down with broad tongue licks before spreading his ass cheeks wide. Making his tongue a point, he began to tickle at the cowboy's asshole. The mirror beside the bed reflected the cowboy's eyes as they flickered closed, and his facial expression became one of beatific pleasure. Maria could see that both of their cocks were throbbing as Calvin rimmed the cowboy with enthusiasm, licking and tonguing his puckered hole. Maria watched mesmerized as Calvin rolled on a condom, then added lube and slid his dick up between the cowboy's spread ass cheeks. Holding it at the base, he slowly rubbed it back and forth over the cowboy's lubed-up hole. Nudging just the head of his cock in, Calvin stopped and waited for the cowboy to take the lead. They were still for a moment. Then gradually, the cowboy began to back up onto Calvin's cock. Calvin held him by the hips and met his speed, thrusting slowly and deeply. Maria fingered herself at the same speed as the men's thrusting, wanting desperately to fuck herself with something hard. Not prepared to leave the moment, she looked around her for anything suitable for penetration. There on the windowsill lay the big screwdriver she'd used to reassemble the bed and dining table. Grabbing it by the metal part, she kicked off her shorts and knickers and began to tease at her slippery hole with the smooth-ribbed handle as she watched the cowboy being fucked, Calvin's sheathed cock sliding in and out of him at a steady pace. Finally, Maria slipped the handle end into her throbbing pussy and began to fuck herself rhythmically, her knees in the air and her feet curled around the armrests of the chair. To Maria's delight, the fucking seemed to go on and on at a steady rhythm. She could see that both men were aching to come but were holding it back for as long as they could. Both of their faces expressed in turn the beautiful and the animal elements of sexual pleasure. She continued to match her own thrusts with theirs, pausing when she felt like she was about to tip over the edge. Suddenly, the men began to pick up speed. Maria followed suit. Calvin began to slam his cock into the cowboy's ass. The muscles in his own ass were covered with tension, and his whole body glistened with sweat. As the cowboy pushed back to meet him, Maria fucked herself hard with the ridged handle and vigorously rubbed her clit. Then, wanting a little of what the cowboy was getting, she discarded the screwdriver and used her now free hand to tease at her asshole. She sighed deeply as she inserted a wet finger just inside her ass and began to stroke her sphincter while shallowly thrusting. She was pushed beyond the edge as she watched the cowboy's orgasm, his face contorted in ecstasy, come shooting out of his cock and landing on the other side of the bed. In turn, Calvin shot his hot load as he was milked by the muscle spasms going on in the cowboy's tight hole. Maria's asshole began to clench her under finger, and she responded by rubbing her clit faster and harder. As she came, her whole body shuddered and a grunt forced its way out of her mouth. She felt a surge in her pussy and gasped as a stream of ejaculate shot from her spasming cunt. She felt the release through her whole body. Her orgasm began to slow, and as Maria watched as Calvin finally collapsed, leaning on the cowboy's back, it was as though the three of them had let out a collective sigh. The men slumped down together on the pristine bed, and Calvin brought his arm around the cowboy's waist and pulled him close. "I think I'm going to like living here," thought Maria, as she sank back in her chair and lit a cigarette. Whew, that was Rear Window by Scarlett French, and I have to admit, my legs have been crossed rather tightly while I've been reading it, because that's a pretty fucking hot story. Let me read her bio to you. Scarlett French is a short story writer and a poet. She lives in London's East End with her partner and a pugnacious marmalade cat. Her erotic fiction has appeared in Best Lesbian Erotica 2005, Va Va Voom, First Timers, True Stories of Lesbian Awakening, Tales of Travel Erotica for Lesbians, and Best Women's Erotica 2007. She's currently working on her first novel, but is repeatedly distracted by the urge to write filth. And I hope she continues to be distracted by the urge to write filth, because she is one of my favorites. My name is Violet Blue, and you can find out more about me and all of the things that I do on my website, tinynibbles.com. Tonight I have a very explicit, hot, erotic story to read to you by an author named Felix D'Angelo. It's called Special Occasion. Julie led the stranger by the hand as they entered the motel room. As soon as the door was closed, she grabbed him and forced him up against the wall, pressing her lips to his and kissing him deeply as she let her hands drop to his hips, feeling the weight and texture of his belt against her fingertips. "I'm gonna fuck this guy," she kept thinking, as she felt his tongue probing back against her own, as she felt his hands reaching for her ass, squeezing her cheeks, pulling her miniskirt up over the curve of her buttocks. "I'm going to get on my knees and suck his dick," I'm going to wrap my thighs around his face. I'm going to let him put his cock inside me. As she thought these things, her body responded tangibly. Her nipples grew harder than they already were, which was very hard. Her pussy seemed to pulse and throb more than it was already pulsing and throbbing. She knew that if her lover put his hand up her skirt, he would find her dripping, hot, swollen, ready for him. "I'm going to go to bed with this guy," she thought. "This is wrong, so wrong, so very wrong." She could feel her husband's eyes on her, accusing her, watching everything, knowing every moment, every texture of her transgression, close to her, knowing the taste and smell of her betrayal, the sight of her with a strange man's body against hers. Unable to hide her excitement, Julie glanced toward the closet door, which was open just a crack. Brian crouched there in the dark, but she couldn't see him, just a narrow strip of black where her husband hid and waited, watching his wife fuck a stranger. His cock was probably hard. Maybe he was stroking it. The stranger's lips parted. She was panting, frightened but exhilarated. She could feel his cock, hard, stretching through his jeans against her belly. Their eyes met, and she saw hunger, desperation, a certain exuberance at being about to score with a hot chick. He smiled. Without warning, Julie dropped to her knees. She could almost feel Brian's eyes on her as she pressed her face against the strange man's crotch, inhaling the scent of him through his well-worn Levi's. Her hands were shaking as she pulled open his belt and unzipped his pants. She felt his fingers going through her hair as she reached into his open jeans and found him without underwear, felt his cock, hard for her, naked. She didn't have a single thought to think. Instead, she bent forward and took it in her mouth, hungrily. There was no teasing, no invitation, just the spinning of her head as she opened up and slid the stranger's cock down her throat, holding her breath and feeling him there, fucking her throat. She could feel the beat of his heart deep inside her as he gripped her hair and let out a loud, rapturous moan. She could feel her cunt pulsing in time with it. His pants slid neatly down his slim legs, bunching around his ankles and telling Julie that she'd been right. He really wasn't wearing any underwear. She came up for air and went down again, wrapping her fingers around the base of his shaft so that she could lavish affection on the head, running her tongue and lips all over it. She moaned softly as she licked her way down to his balls and took them in her mouth, savoring them as she rubbed her thumb over his glands. "Fuck, Julie," he gasped. "It seems like you've been waiting 10 years to suck cock. How did you learn to do it like that?" "By doing it a lot," she said, "and it's been so long." "Doesn't your husband like getting his dick sucked?" Julie stiffened, her pussy clenching, as she thought of Brian hiding in the closet, watching, stroking himself. "He loves it," she said. "I do it every chance I get. But it's still been too long." "Fuck, Julie, suck my cock any time you want." She took the stranger's cock back in her mouth, both thrilled and haunted by the fact that he'd called her by name. She gulped him down again, into her throat, but she could sense that he was going to come already, and she wasn't finished with him yet. Gracefully, she slid up his body and pressed herself against him. She could feel her breasts falling out of the thin mini-dress, her nipples poking through and rubbing against his rough shirt. She kissed him, feeling a rush of excitement as she felt his tongue going into her and understood that he had no compunctions about kissing her right after she'd sucked his cock. She wanted him. She wanted him inside her, against her. Their lips parted slightly, and she looked into his eyes again. "What was your name again?" she whispered. She knew he'd told her in the bar. It was Dave, Tom, Ed, Mike, one of those manly one-syllable names. But all she'd been able to hear were the words Brian would say if he knew, the words he would say if he discovered her in the arms of another man. The fear and excitement had prevented her from hearing anything except Brian's voice in her own head. The man didn't answer her, didn't tell her his name. Instead, he grabbed her and spun her around, slamming her against the motel room wall and kissing her again, harder this time, while he yanked up her skirt and slipped his hand between her legs. Her arms went up reflexively, not in front of her to ward him off, but straight up against the wall, palms spread in a gesture of desperate surrender. She felt him plucking the crotch of her skimpy thong out of the way, felt two of his thick fingers sliding into her, discovering her wet, wetter than even she thought she was. He kissed her harder, slid his fingers deeper into her, and with his other hand grabbed the front of her flimsy, almost see-through mini-dress. She didn't believe it was going to happen, didn't believe he'd really do it, until she heard the long, low rip and felt the fabric falling away in two pieces, leaving her revealed, exposed, wearing nothing but her barely-there push-up bra her tits were already falling out of in a tiny, tiny thong. A shudder went through her as the air-conditioned air hit her nipples and the goose flesh spread suddenly across her breasts. "Oh, fuck," she panted. "You ripped my dress." She didn't mean it as an accusation, or a complaint, really, but simply as a statement of overwhelming fact. This stranger had literally ripped off her clothes, and now he was going to fuck her. While her husband watched. The remains of the dress blew in the draft from the air-conditioning vent as the fabric hung in tatters around her. The stranger bent low and took her nipple in his mouth, sucking hard and bringing a sharp gasp from Julie's lips. His tongue flicked over first one hard nipple and then the other, his unshaven face prickly against her breast, as he pulled the cups of her bra down, tucking them under the curves of her full breasts. His fingers went into her again, three this time, his thumb pressing expertly on her clit, and Julie knew she was going to come. She always came eventually when someone played with her nipples and clit at the same time. She knew it was close, so close, and she begged the stranger not to stop. But there was no need. He wasn't going to stop, not by a long shot. Julie felt herself dissolving into what felt like sobs as she came hard, her upthrust arms curving around the stranger's muscled back as he fingered her deeply and suckled on her breasts, as his thumb pressed her clit in time with the rhythm of her orgasm. She wanted to scream, "I'm coming," because she wasn't sure he'd know she was, but she couldn't. Instead, she collapsed against him in a shuddering mass of release. She felt as if she was floating as his hand slipped out of her and he cupped her ass, lifting her against his big body and swinging her around to set her down on the motel room bed. Julie lay there staring up, the afterglow of her orgasm bringing on a sudden thrill of guilt and fresh arousal. Brian can see me. He knows I'm with another man. Oh, God, this is so wrong. She felt the stranger's hands on her thong, pulling it down her thighs, over her knees and calves, over her feet. Then she felt the stranger gently pushing her legs open, felt the rush of desperation from not knowing if he was going to fuck her or eat her out, and the ecstatic pleasure as she felt the scratch of his face against her inner thighs, felt his fingers opening her up, separating her lips. Then she succumbed to the push of his powerful tongue against her clit as his fingers slid into her again. He finger-fucked her as he started to go to work on her clit with the tip of his tongue. "Oh, God," Julie gasped, as she felt the rush that told her it was too soon after her orgasm. She was too sensitive. She wanted to tell the stranger to stop. It was too much, but she didn't. Instead, she spread wide and accepted the intense sensations as they flowed through her body, as she ached and moaned. His tongue flicked faster, and she knew she was going to come again. She never came this soon. Never. Never with Brian. Brian, she thought. He knows. He knows I'm cheating on him. She was right on the edge of her orgasm, and she would never know if the stranger sensed it, or it was merely a fortuitous coincidence that he chose that moment to slip his fingers out of her body and mount her, sliding his body up hers until the head of his cock slipped neatly between her pussy lips, his cock sliding into her body. He was thick, thicker than Brian, though shorter, and he had an unusually bulbous cockhead, shaped not unlike Julie's favorite dildo. Her back arched, and she came as she felt the head popping in, and the slide of his shaft all the way into her made her utter a desperate moan as her climax heightened with each millimeter he entered her. He started fucking her slowly, and she kept coming until she was almost delirious with pleasure, totally dissolved into the sensation of being done. She wrapped her thighs around his body and clutched him tight, coaxing him deeper inside her as he pumped, holding back in case she wanted to come again. But she was quite finished coming, her pussy swollen and sensitive, her clit raw from sensation. She gripped him tight, wrapping her arms around him and whispered, "Come, baby, come inside for me." It felt strange to call him baby when she didn't even know his name, or, more to the point, when she'd known it and forgotten it. But she didn't care. She just wanted him to come inside her, to sow her with his stranger's seed. She begged for it, and he kept thrusting until he let out a shuddering groan, and she whispered, "Yes, yes, yes, come inside me, baby, please, I want it." When he sighed and went limp on top of her, she knew it was over. And she knew that Brian knew every moment of her transgression, every instant of her violation, every sight and smell and taste of what she'd done, or at least he would. The stranger rolled off Julie, kissing her politely and embracing her tentatively. She kissed him back, but didn't move to cuddle him. Instead, they lay there in the sweaty darkness as Julie imagined Brian watching, understanding that she'd done this for him. "Listen, I gotta get back to work," the stranger said. He got off the bed and pulled up his jeans, buckling them. Julie realized she'd never even unbuttoned his dark blue work shirt. It was still fastened, the silver-white cross-date trucking logo glistening in the slanted light from the window. "All right," she said. "Thanks." He stood there, looking at her, his eyes nervous as they took in Julie, stretched across the bed, her dress ripped and unraveled, tangled around her mostly naked body. "Sorry about the dress," he said. "I liked it," she smiled. "No problem." "Do you have another dress or something?" he asked. "Sure," she said. "Don't worry about it." "Well, I'll see you," he said. "Yeah," she said. "Thanks." He came over and bent down, pressed his lips against hers, his rough hands slipping between her legs, cradling her pussy. "Bob," he said. "My name's Bob." "Nice to meet you, Bob," said Julie, and patted him on the crotch. Bob turned and left the motel room, closing the door behind him gently. As soon as he was gone, Julie got up, turned the deadbolt, slid the chain home. When she turned around, Brian had slipped out of the closet and was lying on the crisp, starched motel room bed, his cock hard against his belly. Julie moved to slip off what remained of the mini-dress, but Brian said, "No, don't. Leave it on." She reached the bed quickly, not even stopping to kiss her husband before taking his cock in her mouth. She took him deep, his taste mingling with that of the stranger. She felt his fingers going through her hair, caressing her as he let his cock slip out of her mouth and mounted him, spreading her legs as she fitted his cockhead into her cum-slick pussy and sank down on top of it, moaning. "Oh, God," Brian moaned as Julie began to fuck him. "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." It had been Brian's fantasy his whole life, to watch his wife fuck a stranger in a motel room. It had never been Julie's, until she'd done it. "Just once," she'd told Brian. "I'll do it just once, once for you, because it's our anniversary and I love you." "Thank you," Brian whispered as Julie pressed him deeper into her. "Thank you, thank you, thank you." "Happy anniversary," she moaned softly. But she knew that in the instant she'd felt that stranger's lips on hers, her gift had ceased to be for Brian, and she knew such behaviors would never again be restricted to special occasions. As they fucked, as she felt Brian's cock inside her, felt herself coming again, felt Brian coming too, releasing himself inside her, Julie imagined the bar across the street, the long line of semis parked, desperate men sleeping in the cramped cabins inside, desperate, horny men. "What time is it?" she asked as they finished, their bodies still entwined on the bed. "It's early," Brian said and smiled. Well, that was one hot, nasty, and very dirty story from Felix D'Angelo, and I'm going to read you Felix's bio. Felix D'Angelo is an East Coast drug program counselor who writes erotica in his spare time. Although he's been writing for years, Special Occasion is his first published story. It is written for his girlfriend, Katrina. And I should note that, of course, there was some very unsafe sex in that story that is very much a fantasy. There was all kinds of fluids being passed around in that story, so if you did try something like this in real life, A, it would require a large amount of negotiation between you and your lover, and it would also require you using condoms and practicing safer sex, which I hope you all do. Well, anyway, I hope you enjoyed that very dirty story. I certainly did. And if I smoked, I would go have a cigarette right now.
First piece that's in the book, and it really sets the tone for the rest of the book, and it's really just one of the hottest stories. I love this story a lot. It's by a woman named Kate Robertson, and I'll read you her bio when I'm all finished. It's called "Just Watch Me, Rodan." As he has instructed, I knock and enter. Glancing up from his cluttered, battered old desk, he impatiently motions me in. "I wish you could be on time for once, Camille," he says wearily. He doesn't want to know why I'm late, because he has no interest in me as a person, with any kind of life beyond the walls of this skylit loft. I know better now than to protest his calling me Camille. I undress in a corner while he watches me from his desk. Unlike some other men I've worked for, he offers no screen or private space for this part of my job, and undressing in front of him always feels provocative, like stripping. He mentioned once that watching me peel off sparks his muse. I try not to shiver. It's not that he can't afford to heat the place. No, I'm sure he keeps it cold deliberately to make my nipples stick out hard. He points to the bench, sleek brushed steel and button-down black leather, a single piece of decent furniture in this bright but Spartan space. Do you remember the position? On your back, he says quietly. How could I forget? Last week, after several sessions of sketching me in an exhausting variety of positions, on, over, around, and even under the bench, he finally settled on a conventional fetal pose because, as he said, it makes your cunt look like a split peach. Besides, any pose must be comfortable enough to hold for 40 minutes or more without a break. I'm just not very comfortable with it right now, hunched here with my forearms clasped lightly around my shins and him stalking around the bench, staring. He goes to the easel, tilts his head, narrows his eyes at me, then at the canvas, then readjusts a wrist or a thumb here, a spread knee there, untucking the fullness of my left breast from my upper arm. His fingers on my skin convey energy like a current or a hum. He pushes a lock of hair off my forehead and smiles down at me. Very good, Camille. By the time he settles at the easel, my cunt is aching. The canvas is larger than life, 4 feet high by 6 feet wide. He paints actively, jabbing and diving and whirling, dancing with it, teasing it, flirting with the paint and the surface. He's all art. Me, I'm just raw material, ore. The diamond hard point of his gaze drills into me and extracts my essence, claims it for himself, pours it out in an image of me, the way my ass tilts up. He's painting me wide open. I wonder what possessed me to take this job. This is what I get for dallying in a bar with a cute older guy who turns out to be a big-shot artist. I need a model, he said. Want a job, Camille? Fuck. In for a penny, in for a pound. The odd thing is that when I close my eyes, I feel the touch of his paint-laden brush on my flesh like a caress. He sees and traces it all, the incurve of my cheek, the contours of my petals, the puckered vortex of my anus. I'm squeezing inside just thinking about it. Finally, he swirls his brushes into the water. Time for a break. In a kitchenette at the back, he makes coffee while I walk around, bend, stretch, jog on the spot, try to dislodge the yawning ache in my cunt. 4 times I've been here, naked all afternoon, and he's never offered me a blanket or robe. He brings the mugs and sits beside me on the bench, leaning back, long legs stretched out straight. I glance at his length, feel his energy close. Clench gently, duly. Pray that I'm not wetting the leather, or maybe that I am. He nods at the easel. Go on, have a look. It's almost done. No photorealist. He's made the splayed, upturned cleft between the creamy thighs fill the canvas with brash, wild color. At first glance, you'd hardly be able to tell that it wasn't the gash of a pitted peach dripping with juice. Look again, and it's wet, throbbing, joyful, and oh so in your face. My cunt. For once, I'm speechless. He chuckles. You like the first in my new series? Series? There's more? Oh, yes. I thought I told you. This is just the beginning. Each painting in sequence will go deeper into eroticism. Here you simply display yourself, and the next one... He pauses. I hardly dare to breathe. In the next one, you'll touch yourself, and so on. I try to swallow, but my mouth is dry because I'm picturing myself masturbating in front of him. How many paintings will there be? That depends on you, Camille, how far you can go. His voice is quiet, and he's looking at me now, without a trace of a smile. Yeah, well, you just watch me, Rodan. After I strip, he says, No painting today, Camille. Just drawing. Get on the bed. Sit cross-legged, face the camera. The bench has been pushed aside for a king-size platform bed made up with a fitted sheet and a pile of pillows in a soft rose pink. I want to question him about the video camera on the tripod, but I keep my mouth shut. He doesn't pay me for small talk. Bracing his sketchbook on his thigh, he sits on a high stool at the foot of the bed and puts me through several poses, his eyes glued to me, his hand moving as if by remote control, charcoal pencil scratching rough paper. First I must throw my head back, cup my breasts, and draw out both nipples between thumbs and forefingers. He wants them very erect and red. "Pinch, pull harder, harder," he murmurs. When I wince, he seems pleased. For the second pose, I lie back on a pile of pillows with my knees bent and spread. On command, I draw my lips apart. I rub and knead. I insert two fingers and then three. I circle and expose my clit rhythmically. He draws nonstop in patient detail. I gradually become engorged and very wet. When he stands, I notice the ridge in his jeans and the wet spot just below the belt. He says, "This last post may be difficult. If you don't want to do it, I can get someone else." "No damn way, Rodan," I say. "I can do it." On all fours, I have to present my ass to the camera and press my chest against the bed so that my back is uncomfortably up-arched. Quite the view. "Spread your thighs," he says quietly. "I'm going to touch you." With one knee on the bed, he dips his fingers into my cunt and strokes the juices slowly up my crack behind. I swallow to keep myself quiet, hoping against hope that he's going to fuck me now. But, "Give me your hand." He slips my middle finger into his mouth and sucks it. The one I had up my cunt. Can he taste me? Can he smell me, I wonder? Then he pulls my arm back at an awkward angle and places the tip of my wetted finger on my anus. "Press," he says, showing me how. "I want your finger inside up to the last knuckle. Your other finger should splay against your cheeks like a starfish." My anal ring tenses, then relaxes at my finger's intrusion. I slide in all the way. I'm breathing so hard that he says, "Move it if you need to, but only slightly." I rock imperceptibly and work my clit with my other hand until my ooze dribbles cool down my inner thighs. How can he hold back when he sees how much I want it? But he does. He draws endlessly while I squirm in misery. Then I hear him get up. Does he move away? I can't tell. With my face in the pillows, I'm not sure where he is, but I sense his presence, and if he's not drawing, what the hell is he doing? I hold the pose because this is what he pays me for. My thighs are trembling. In a few minutes, his voice slices through my tension. He sounds breathless, almost winded. "That's enough. Enough for today." When I know he's gone to make the coffee, I bring myself off hard right there, convulsing with the hand in front and my finger plunging behind. I don't care if he hears my moans. He brings the mugs. His erection is gone. He clicks the camera off and smiles pleasantly at me. "You were good today, Camille." I hope he wanks himself blind when he watches that video. I almost didn't come back. When I got home and thought about how he made me masturbate in front of him and then jacked off secretly, I was hopping mad. But he sent flowers, no less, with a note on his letterhead inside. Inside, also, 5 20s. 5 times what he pays me per hour. He wrote, "Camille, if I pushed you too far, I apologize for any embarrassment I caused you. Please accept the enclosed as extra payment for the video. I was remiss in not paying for you for that up front. R." How could I not come back after that? I've arrived on time this week. When I hold up my hair behind so he can buckle the velvet choker around my throat, I feel his breath. I swear he caresses the nape of my neck, but maybe I just want it to be a caress. His nails strike sparks off my skin. He's produced 2 paintings from the video session, for which I am to pose briefly for final detailing. So I'm here on his bed, reclining into pillows with my clit caught between my right fore and middle fingers and my left thumb and forefinger offering, that's how he describes it, my right nipple. "I'm the viewer," he says. "Look at my face. Think. I am beautiful. I am me. No, not like that, Camille. Don't look seductive. This isn't porn. Give me a level gaze. Open to me. That's it. Good girl. Now hold it. I watch him at his easel at the foot of the bed, watching me. This isn't porn. This is the body spread open and translated. The luminous essence of flesh, my flesh, in thick, slippery paint. I try to picture him watching me on the video, his face contorted in Le Petit Mort, his spunk spewing from the tip of his cock. During the break, he switches canvases, cleans, and recharges his palette. Casually, he asks, "Do you have a boyfriend?" "Not right now." "Fuck buddy?" "No, I wish." I roll my eyes, a joke. He doesn't smile. "Too bad, it would be easier. For the next group of paintings." He trails off, selecting his brushes. The silence vibrates. I hardly dare breathe. Then he lifts his eyes and takes mine. He bores into me. "Would you be averse to posing with a naked man?" "What? Oh, God, I don't know." I stammer. I don't think so. Who? "A friend of mine, another artist." I gulp. "You want me to fuck him?" He shrugs. "Not necessarily. It's just that it could happen in the poses I want. I'll pay you well." "I can do that." He shows me the second canvas, tall and narrow, almost finished. Me kneeling from behind. All soft sweep of thighs and intricate cunt spreads, curving and shifting into shadow. Lines and planes rise and converge at the still point just above center, where my fingers fan open like a sunburst around the middle one, which is buried deep. Something, some ground inside me, caves in and liquefies. How does he find an image so outwardly gross, a delicacy and fineness so sharp it slices your heart to shreds? I take up the position on the bed. He invites me to meet him and Peter for lunch. Café Malo, no less. He introduces me as Camille. Peter is cute and talkative, and wears a wedding ring. For some reason, that reassures me. When we are back in the studio, it's pen and watercolors, and Peter's good humor is taking a beating. The minute I undressed, he horned up, and he's been stiff ever since. Well, he would be with the positions Rodin's put us through, but so far the contact has been all external. Now he wants us doggy style, for real. He wants a close-up of the entry, how the cock pries the lips open, how the lips wrap around it. The way he talks about it makes me seep. We've all agreed that Peter won't actually fuck me, but simply hold his cock at the required depth. "Need lube?" "No, thanks." Peter kneels close behind, opens my cunt with his fingers, and guides himself gingerly in. Halfway, and Rodin says, "Stop, there, hold it." I fight the urge to push myself back to take him all inside. Long minutes pass. The pen races, the brush swipes, page after page. Peter's sweat drops onto my back. His cock is throbbing, and I can't help clenching, and I know that must drive him mad, but I can't stop. We're both trembling, straining to hold back the jungle rhythm in the pulse. He starts to pant. "Jesus, I'm gonna come." "Pull out," says Rodin. He passes me a cloth to dry my streaming thighs. "Don't dry your cunt," he says. Peter fetches 3 beers from the fridge. "Fuck, I almost blew then, man. I'm gonna get you back for this." He's done this before, I can tell. After the break, Rodin wants one last position. On a wooden chair, me splayed on Peter's lap with my back to him and his cock securely rooted. He holds my arms, steadies me sweetly, his chest hair soft on my shoulder blades. Rodin kneels right in front of me with his sketchbook. He barks out commands and the pencil flies. No time to think, just respond. "Pete, pull her nipples. Perfect. Pinch her clit. Grab her hips. Dig your fingers into her thighs. Higher. Camille, when he enters, touch his shaft. No, a circle with your thumb and forefinger. Good, good. Cup his balls. Now play with your clit. That's it. Good girl." My nipples ache, and all I can see is the bulge in his jeans. By the time we finish, my juices drip, drip, drip off Pete's balls. A little puddle on the seat. Leaving, I stop at the door and turn. "Can I ask you a question?" He's cleaning up. He raises an eyebrow. "Sure, shoot." It's probably a stupid question. I just wonder, why do you make me pose live like that? You have a camera. Why can't you just take photos?" He nods. It's not a stupid question, Camille. It should be asked more often, in fact. The answer is simple. The camera sees only with one eye. It has no depth perception, and it distorts the image very subtly. With two eyes, I have depth perception. I can see what's beneath and behind the surface. I see the whole image as the camera cannot see it. I bring out the invisible. As he explains this, something predatory and angular rises inside me, a sharp and blade-like craving. I want to push myself into him. And what is invisible? I ask. He hesitates. Warily? He wonders where I'm going with this. Heat. I paint heat. Heat? Who's heat? I press on recklessly, feeling lucky. I want to make him say it. Say your heat. I paint your heat. Say it, you fucker, I'm thinking. Even across the room, his eyes pin me down. Mine, he says. I paint my heat. For the next several weeks, he paints nonstop, always a couple of canvases going at the same time, with several more roughed in. Some days he calls me in to pose, but often he just wants me to be there while he works. Calls me his muse. Right. I feel more like an ornamental house pet, lounging around on the bed, reading, listening to music, even napping, and always naked. It feels normal. He talks rarely while he paints, but when I make coffee, he takes a break and chats. One day he shows me some of the finished work, props the canvases up along the wall. It's always a shock to see myself painted like this, in feverish color, with frenetic brush strokes, everything vibrating and glowing together. The throb in my cunt radiates from the paint. His work is electric. It looks like it fucking feels. Looking at the paintings, he says, "What do you see?" I stammer, "Me, but not me. Me in your eyes." I'm breaking a sweat with the effort. He says, "Exactly. You in my eyes. How I see you." Now he's looking at me. I can smell him, his sweat, his coffee breath. Did my nostrils just flare? No doubt he can smell more than coffee off of me. "Camille, look at me." His face is lined, his eyes magnetic. He's probably my father's age. "I never thought anyone would do what you've done for me. You took on my challenge, and you've performed just as I'd hoped." He pauses. "But..." Always a but, yeah. "I want to push you further." "How much further?" "Until you beg me to stop. Until you hit the wall." I shrug. "What do you have in mind?" The way his eyes drill into me, I feel my nipples prickle again. "A game. Play a game with me. A game of bondage and domination. Could you do that?" He gives a casual smile, but an undercurrent of tension hums in the air between us. He wants this, desperately. Damn, damn him. "Sure, I can do that." When I arrive for the next session, he's laid out some nasty-looking equipment on the bench. I can barely look at it for fear of caving in. Handcuffs? A collar? A red ball gag? A blindfold? A purple butt plug? Something that looks like a small riding crop? Nipple clamps? Jesus, what have I gotten myself into? The video camera is pointing at the bed. He smiles. "Are you afraid?" "Yes." "Good, you should be. It's going to hurt." "It has to. But I promise I won't cut you or make any permanent marks on your body. And we'll only do this once. I'll cam it all. And of course, I'll make it worth your while." "Okay." So he's going to pay to tie me up and whip me in front of a camera. Have I now definitively crossed the line from model to whore? Or is this all still for art? I'm not sure anymore. He beeps the camera on. He buckles the collar around my neck and the cuffs around my wrists. I lift each foot to the bed for him to buckle cuffs around my ankles. "Kneel on the bed, facing me so your hands hang by your ankles." When he clips the wrist cuffs to the ankle cuffs and I try to move but without spreading my knees, I have a revelation. Restrained in this position, my body is automatically designated a sexual object. My raison d'être is crystal clear. With just a few buckles and clips, he's made me into a fuck toy. "Now listen, this is important. You won't be able to talk with the gag. We need a safe signal. If you want me to stop for any reason, stretch out your fingers like this, okay? Good, now open your mouth. The ball, though soft, feels huge on my tongue. By the time he buckles it securely in place, my jaw joint is already sore with the strain. The blindfold is next. Everything goes black, and I'm operating by touch and sound. He's quiet for a few seconds. I strain to hear his breathing. Then, now I want you to turn over with your face and shoulders on the bed. I obey, upended. His favorite position to me, but he doesn't say that. Are you ready to be spanked? I nod. Without another word of warning, he hits me with his bare hand, and just after the force of his blow sends fire streaking through my ass and the gag stifles my scream, I wonder if he wonders how fast will I hit my wall. I chomp down on the gag. Just watch me, Rodan. It begins with his hands, slow swipes, forehand, backhand. With each fiery stroke, I drive my fingernails into my palms and clench the gag in my teeth. Between each pass, he strokes my hips gently, almost lovingly, feathering my skin with his fingertips until I relax with relief when the next blow knocks me sideways. I lose count. Are you okay, Camille? You're glowing now. I nod. My face feels flushed and my ass is blazing. His fingers coax sensation back, cool in my cheeks and down over my thighs. Then they creep between my legs and begin to rummage insistently among my petals. He grunts approvingly. I'm oozy and engorged. All that extra blood flow. Everything he's done to me, over so many weeks, all coming to fruition now. I try, but fail not to rock in response. He steps away, returns. Something hisses and swoops in the air behind me, makes me startle. The crop. He chuckles. I want some nice red stripes on this rosiness. And just like that, he strikes me. Swoop, swoop. Each stroke forces a mangled moan from my lungs. My fists clench and unclench at my ankles as I consider signaling for safety. Again, I lose count. But before I hit the wall, he stops. I'm struggling to breathe because my nose is so stuffed up. The blindfold feels wet on my cheeks. What is that sound, that muffled sobbing? It's me. He rolls me onto my back and caresses me, his voice low and soothing until my breathing steadies and strengthens. Darling, don't cry. My God, you're beautiful like this. You'll see. I'll show you how lovely you are. He presses his mouth to my forehead, my cheeks, my breasts. His chest hair brushes me. His cock slides hard and satiny against my thigh. I realize he's naked. Since when? Since the blindfold? My nipples prick up between his fingers. Have you ever had them clamped? Before I can shake my head, something bites into the tender tumescent flesh. One, two. The pressure is savage and I scream, but the sound is strangled. The twin throb of my pinched nipples ignites a relentless pulse down through my clit that makes me buck and grind helplessly. I'm desperate. My body is pleading for release, begging him. Good girl. His voice is tense. A swipe of thumb between my pussy lips spreads my syrup down and behind. Is that his finger opening up my back hole? Oh, sweet fuck. Yes. One, two. Probing, stretching. I melt down onto him whimpering. Oh, dear God, dear Jesus. The butt plug, he murmurs just before he nudges it in. It's solid and it feels huge. My sphincter hugs it so tight I almost explode. But not yet, not until he rolls onto me and shunts into me rough and deep. When his cock stuffs me full and everything goes numb, I realize I'm dying because I just can't breathe anymore. I hit the wall. At that instant, the gag is yanked out, the blindfold off. He releases the clamps and fire surges through my nipples and my clit. I'm flung screaming and singing and soaring headfirst through cascades of fireworks into the endless night sky. I don't know how long I lay there in his arms, until my sobbing and trembling finally petered out and I laid still, shell-shocked. Until evening purpled the studio and hunger won out over exhaustion. At Malu, my ass throbbed on the chair. I could feel each welt where he'd beaten me. Where he'd beaten me. Not a sign of the sadist now in this attractive middle-aged man of the world sitting across the candle flame from me, stirring his coffee and considering me carefully. Just hours before, this man had cleaved me to my core, ripped apart everything that I thought was me, and put me back together again. "What made it so intense?" I finally asked him. "Was it the blindfold? The gag?" He lifted an eyebrow and shrugged. "Possibly. Sensory deprivation. When you can't see, your other senses go on high alert. Everything intensifies. When you can't vocalize, everything is bottled up inside. The release was powerful, no?" Powerful. It was nuclear. I never came so hard. But I didn't tell him that. "Stay the night," he says. He plays the video, and when it is over, he says, "Did you see the beauty in that? How you exploded under me? I want to capture that in paint." I answer the tense note in his voice with my thigh over his. He fucks me warmly and companionably this time, but sleep is fitful until the gray half-light when he drags me from my dreams to prop me on all fours and slam into me from behind, our bodies clap-clap-clapping in accelerated applause. Then a sound sleep, then startling awake at 10:35 with the mid-morning sun baking the bed. Untangling from him in the sheets, fumbling for clothes. "I've got a class at 11. "Easy, darling, I'll give you a lift." Over a cup of his strong coffee, he passes me a thick envelope. Hundreds. 1,000. "What's this?" He smiled. "Payment for your services." "Services? I didn't do anything. All we did yesterday was fuck." He keeps smiling until it dawns on me. "If I take this from you, I'm a whore." I put it on the table. "No, if you take this from me, you're my whore. A whore in the service of art." He raises a finger to silence my protest. "Camille, listen. Nothing has changed. I pay you to do what I want. What I want changes from day to day. You know that. I've had you masturbate for me. Fake fuck Peter in different positions. You fucked me. Tomorrow I may want you to fuck two men while I watch, but this I can promise you. I will always push you to your limits, and I will always want to paint you there." He offers the envelope again. "You can stop anytime you want. It's all up to you. How far can you go?" How far? I see the wall stacked 3 deep with canvases of me. Me as sexual energy made flesh, all dark, raw, wild beauty. Who knew such an erotic creature existed inside me? He draws it out and breathes life into a part of me I never knew existed. Where can he take me? What can he unearth inside me? He's given me a taste. A taste for more. I take the envelope with a grin. "Just watch me, Rodan." Wow, that's a really hot story. It's a really long story, but it's really hot, and my hands weren't so busy holding this book and this microphone. They might even be between my legs, because there's such an intensity and such a tension between their relationship, and it's the intensity of seduction and desire and need and want, and there's a cadence in the way that Kate Robertson tells the story that just keeps you wondering, you know, how far everyone is going to go and just where the whole thing is going to end up. Well, let me read you Kate Robertson's bio before I get too flustered to finish. After a long career as a teacher and a writer of a successful series of children's books, Kate Robertson's recently turned her attention to erotica. Her fiction has been published online at cleansheets.com and scarletletters.com, as well as in print anthologies. Kate lives in Canada with her husband. See, I am getting flustered. But don't you wonder if her husband isn't an artist? I sure do. Well, at any rate, thank you so much for tuning in to Open Source Sex, and until next time.